Hello and welcome to WB2, the Arizona game review. I'm your host, Jake Merrifield, and I'm coming to you with a quick post-game update as the Bruins defeat the Arizona Wildcats 27-10 at the Rose Bowl. It was a nice game, a game that was relatively stress-free, which is always nice in a game where you figure the Bruins are going to be were favored by 10 points. They're able to, after a little bit of messing around early, take control of the game and never really relinquish it, even though in the second half they really didn't do too much. But certainly, if you tell me that they were going to go into a second consecutive game without their starting quarterback and without some of their other players, the coronavirus nine that were held out last week versus Oregon, and you would tell me that they would win the game, cover the point spread, even a point spread that inflated towards the end, and they would rack up a huge game on the ground behind Dimitri Felton and Britton Brown, and Chase Griffin would do enough to win, I would say I will take it. And we did take it, and it's a nice feeling, certainly. The Bruins are 500 again. Our good friend Jack, listener Jack on the Slack channel, pointed out, along with a lot of other folks, that this is only the second time Kelly's been 500 or better in his career with UCLA, and that's for the second time this year after they became 500 with that win over Cal. So at the very least, progress in 2020 is Chip Kelly not digging quite as big of a hole for himself as normal. And so I guess we can look at that as progress, right? Hopefully you guys all had a lovely Saturday and a lovely Thanksgiving weekend. This has been a good kind of cap. Well, I guess we still have Sunday left, but a cap to the holiday. With Thanksgiving being on Thursday, Bill and Suzanne, Bill's wife, of course, and my wife, Sarah, we all enjoyed a nice lunch today up in Santa Barbara, had a nice little leisurely day, came back home, scooped up the kids, and got together at my house, and we barbecued a tri-tip while watching the game, smoked a tri-tip, I should say, and we had a really nice time enjoying the game together. And we're so glad the Bruins cooperated, coming through with a victory. Even if there were moments that weren't super exciting, it's still good enough. So hopefully you guys all had an enjoyable game experience as well. I know Mike was covering it at the Rose Bowl after covering UCLA basketball yesterday in San Diego. So he's been all over the place. Unfortunately, Jamal and the Godfather are crying in their cornflakes because the Bears lost in just unbelievably sad fashion, getting an extra point blocked after they were going to tie the game in big game on Friday. And then the Godfather woke up and had to see the Wildcats after being ranked in the college football playoff rankings. And they immediately then blew a game or got down big versus Michigan State and then couldn't quite complete the comeback. So I feel bad for you guys. But, I know you guys have a little bit of room in your heart for the Bruins. And so you're happy that the Bruins were able to pull through. As far as overall takeaways for this game, the Bruins were terrific on the ground. They racked up almost 300 yards, 281, and a big part of that was Dimitri Felton, of course, with 200 yards. Hopefully the injury towards the end is no big deal. It seemed like he was happy on the sidelines, kind of giggling about it, so hopefully that was more of the cramp variety rather than moons over Miami, which would be very, very bad. We definitely want to see Felton play in the last couple few games that the Bruins get on the field. But 410 total yards, most of that on the ground. Chase Griffin was good enough in this game. The biggest thing is he didn't turn the ball over and ended up managed to be 129 passing yards, one TD, and 12 for 20, and once again, good enough. I really thought during this game, especially in the second half, they were kind of, because they had control of the game, they really weren't taking too many chances, and that was good. They didn't have to. The offensive line, once again, had another great day blocking and pass blocking as well. I don't know if you noticed, but during the broadcast, Brady Quinn was pointing out how Griffin was able to go through his progression. Guess what? He doesn't get to go through that progression if the offensive line isn't doing a hell of a job on their end, allowing him to get through 3-4 different receivers. But this is another game that kind of just solidifies my opinion that I have of Griffin from the last game, which is he is absolutely a great backup QB to have on your roster, and we're thankful to have him, and I'm glad that Kelly took the plunge and took him out of Texas. But he is absolutely not going to be somebody they can replace or do better than DTR. And I just think DTR has a much higher ceiling, even if sometimes his floor is a little bit lower. But you could just feel how, as they were calling the game, and obviously a very run-heavy game versus Arizona, not that Arizona's ever shown, you know, the potential this year to really stop the run, I guess, but you could tell that there were just things that weren't being unlocked by having Chase Griffin in there. And like I said, that's not to be, you know, be negative towards Griffin. I thought he did a great job in there managing the game, but that's really what he is. He's a game manager. He's not a guy that's going to go out there and win a game. So I suppose if you plump, transplant him onto, you know, the 2008 Alabama team, like a Greg McElroy or something like that, right? He can manage the game just fine as all the, you know, the five-star talent around him, controlled and dominated games. But on a team like the Bruins, they're going to need something a little more, I think, to be as successful as they need to be. Chase, great job, but please, I hope that we get DTR back for some of these finale games. Especially, you know, as you get into, if they end up playing that SC game, I really want to see DTR against the Trojans. We should, let's take a few minutes and get into the actual action of the game. I thought that before this game started, the odds of the Bruins being able to start a fourth consecutive game by digging themselves a hole were very, very low, especially hopefully against a team like Arizona that was also struggling. But the Bruins still managed to do it, didn't they? Now, this wasn't the same kind of hole that they dug against Oregon and against Colorado and even a little bit against Cal, like managed through turning the ball over with an interception or a fumble. But the result ended up being the same, didn't it? On defense, it actually starts terrific. On the first play of the game, you knock out the starting quarterback, and that couldn't have gone better for the Bruins. But I think that kind of contributed to the way Kelly called that first drive for the Bruins. You know, they knock Gunnell all out. They're bringing a backup quarterback. It's kind of obvious that, you know, Arizona's going to definitely going to struggle offensively from that point forward, because I don't think anybody had any indication that they wouldn't with bringing in their backup quarterback. And so then the Bruins get the ball on their end of the field and get to a fourth down very quickly, like whatever it was at the 30-yard line or something. And I understand at that point, I don't think that if Gunnell's still in the game, the Bruins necessarily go for it, especially considering, you know, what they saw of Gunnell last year. But with the backup quarterback, your defense presumably has been playing pretty well. They take the shot, they go for it on fourth down, and they turn the ball over on downs, which gives Arizona a short field. And it turns out that is the best opportunity the Arizona offense is going to get, you know, the whole game, with the exception of a couple other drives that they had, but nothing really notable. And that's the only TD the Bruins give up. After they give up that touchdown, the Bruins end up then scoring 20 straight points to go into the halftime up 20-7, which I think is very, very good on their part. They truly ended up dominating that first half after that first sequence, and they end up going on a nice 10-play drive for a field goal, forcing a punt. Then they punt themselves on a shorter drive, force another punt, a 3-and-out. They go on another 52-yard drive for a touchdown, 9 plays. Arizona turns it over on downs, 4-and-out. And then they get another touchdown drive of 40 yards, and then they force another punt, and then they get another field goal, and that's pretty much what the half is. And by the time you got to halftime, they really were taking advantage of the Cats in the statistical department. And it really was the second quarter that the Bruins dominated to take that big lead. At the end of the first quarter, both teams had about 80, 90 yards of yardage between them, most of that being for Arizona that first drive. By the time we got to halftime, the Bruins had 300 total yards of offense to Zona's 150. So that means Arizona only had like 50 yards in that second quarter. UCLA had only punted once by the time halftime came. Zona had punted 4 times, and 18 first downs for UCLA and only 7 for Arizona. And as far as what they were doing on offense, I mean, it really was just a mix of an inside zone that we've seen all the way through, and then they added a little bit of a kind of an outside zone look. If you listen to or read Osgood on Bro, I was chatting with him about it during the game, but it was really just an outside zone play where they'd pull the guard outside the tight end and the tackle would zone block. And it was you haven't seen that as much this year, but it was the one they were leaning on over and over again today. If you notice, they did still sprinkle in that option, but I think Arizona came in looking for that. Kind of like the week before, Oregon had taken away the screen game from the Bruins. They only tried it a couple times. It didn't really work. The option, you didn't see it. There's the straight true, you know, like the old Nebraska option. We saw it a few times, but it wasn't super successful. I think there may be a couple. I can't wait to hear Osgood's figures. But that was the thing that Arizona managed to take away. And that, I think, too, you know, we talk about how in the second half, just to get to that now, it really was a struggle for the Bruins on offense. But I think that was more, number one, you had command of the game. And I think Kelly definitely went a little conservative in the second half, but I think rightly so. I think if you have DTR, you have your full complement of players, maybe you don't get that conservative, but certainly the Bruins did. And that's when the stats kind of evened out. I think the Bruins were up on time possession by like 5 or 6 minutes at the end of the first half. And then by the end of the game, it's about even. And all those stats are just reeled off about how good the Bruins were in the second quarter, I should say, that kind of tilted away from them in Arizona's favor early in the second half and into the fourth quarter. But the thing is that there was never really any reason for Kelly to really change up his strategy too much because Arizona never scored, right? They got one field goal the entire second half. So, you know, there was no reason for him to change things up. It really was one of those things where I think I looked up at the start of the third quarter and incidentally I was just like taking a tri-tip off the grill. And by the time I got done cutting it, like we're already pretty much in the fourth quarter because the game was just bleeding away because there's so much running going on. And, you know, I think because the Bruins were never really threatened by what that backup quarterback could do, and because the Bruins were still able to run the ball, even though, you know, you saw the stat, I think, you know, towards the end of the game, you know, the Bruins were averaging like 6.5 yards per play in the first half and only like 3 yards in the second half. Well, I mean, part of that is because of, like I said, they never really felt desperate to do anything else. They were just trying to bleed the clock out. They got conservative. And I totally understand that when you have your backup quarterback in the game starting a second consecutive game, right? You don't want to get cute. The worst thing you want in as many turnovers as the Bruins have had, you don't want to have more turnovers. So it's all very, very explainable and excusable. And by the way, in a game in which you end up winning 27-10, you know, and you still outscored Arizona in the second half, I don't think there's any real room for complaints. You know, fun to watch? No, but did it get the job done against what was a opponent who you thought was inferior going in and then had their starting quarterback taken away? Absolutely not. So it all made sense to me, even if it wasn't the most compelling football to watch, right? And all the players did their job and, you know, got out of there with a nice victory. And so I think there's really nothing to complain about other than you hope that those defenders that got hurt on that one drive for Arizona in the third or fourth quarter. I remember it was the, you know, one of the drives. I think the drive where Arizona ended up, they missed a field goal, didn't they? Yeah, whatever that was. That one was tough because Abonya got hurt and I don't know, like three different guys came out of the game. And so you didn't want to see that. It's funny. And I kind of was talking when I was talking to Bill as we were watching the game, as conservative as the offense got in the second half, the defense never really got conservative, did they? They were constantly throwing different pressures and different looks at the Arizona quarterback. And, I mean, rightfully so, right? At that point, you can kind of gamble a little bit because you have to make that guy prove that he can actually exploit you and get plays down the field, and he never did. I mean, I was laughing because I think it was late in the third quarter, early in the fourth quarter, there was a play where they ended up bringing a linebacker up into the middle, you know, into like the B gap, and he's showing blitz. And then as soon as the ball snapped, he runs backwards, you know, in a complete beeline towards the defensive backfield as they run a cornerback blitz. And it ended up being in a play where they were vulnerable there for a second because there was a lot of space that linebacker had to make up, like streaking backwards, but there was enough pressure on the quarterback. The quarterback wasn't able to make a good throw, and you know, and it was still a successful play. But I think the defense really was able to, you know, to play a lot more, just kind of letting it all hang out, so to speak. And you know, by the end of the game, they end up forcing two turnovers. And you know, as we saw on the broadcast, that's really the magic number for these Bruins. Kelly was what, like he's negative 22 in losses on the turnover margin and like plus 11 or 12, I think, by the end of the game in wins. And it really, if you think about it, I mean, that really has been the story for so many of these games. Turnovers is why they lost the Colorado game. Turnovers is why they lost the Oregon game. Turnovers is why they lost the Oregon State game last year. And I'm sure if we went back and looked at some of these other games, I mean, that's a direct, both Cincinnati games, those games were lost because of these unforced errors. We've talked about that so many times. And if they could just get that part of the game cleaned up, then we might have a different feeling about these teams and this tenure under Kelly. But look, bottom line is, and I said it last week and I said it the week before, with this team right now in this weird 2020 season, you have to kind of look at what they are now without, you know, and try to subtract all the baggage we are attaching to them for what we expected the Bruins to be under Kelly. You know, and once again, you know, I look at this team and I see guys who are playing, who are making big efforts. And even with the adversity of going to your backup quarterback and all these things, I see a lot of good on the different units of this team, whether it's the offensive line or the defensive line or the defense as a whole, you know, or the running backs or whatever it is. So at the very least, we're getting some enjoyable football as we go down the stretch here. And I really, really do appreciate that. You know, as far as key moments for this game, I think there is one main key moment, and that is when Grant Gunnell, on the very first play for Arizona from scrimmage, gets tackled. Looks like, I don't know, I didn't hear the report after the game, but right at the moment it looked like he separated his shoulder or something. But either way, he got knocked out of the game. And I think from that point forward, UCLA went from being in a game in which certainly they were favored, but I thought that they might have to really kind of stretch themselves a little bit to, you know, there was a chance that Arizona might be able to challenge them and this would turn into a shootout or something like that. I think all that went out the window as soon as Gunnell went out. And so they kind of settled into a more conservative game and they were able to kind of suffocate the life out of Arizona. And that's kind of what happened, you know, for better or for worse. We already talked about how it might not be super exciting, but it is what it is. As far as key contributors in the game, you know, obviously Felton, I think I already mentioned it, but 32 carries, 206 yards, 6.5 per pop, touchdown, along of 35. I mean, that's absolutely outstanding. Chase managed the game. We already talked about his stats. Britton Brown, once again, I thought looked really good. I really want to see him more. That completion that Chase had, that he had his touchdown on, was a really nice little nifty thing in there. And then the receiving core, obviously they didn't get a lot of action this game because there wasn't a lot of passing. Only 20 passes total and only 12 completions, so there's not really too much to say about that. On defense, you know, once again, just a lot of very solid play, a lot of gang tackling. This game, they didn't have, at least what's registered in the book, is only 5 tackles for a loss, where they've been averaging like 8 or 9. But how many plays can you remember in this game where they tackled guys within a couple yard, you know, just for a couple yard gains? It was kind of the same sort of deal. I thought that Gray Brightwell, even though he didn't have a real gaudy game, you know, they held him to 3.5 yards per carry, 57 yards on 17 carries. I thought he didn't have a great game by any stretch, but I thought he was good at just not getting pulled down for losses, you know, and that's to his credit, but still a lot of plays where they only gained 1 or 2 yards kind of kept them off schedule, so to speak. And Plummer was kind of a gamer. He ended up with 50 yards on the ground, and he only took 2 sacks. But just he kind of in the same ballpark as Griffin. There just wasn't a whole lot of him being able to challenge anybody down the field. And I thought that's really what happened to the Bruins in the second half. They were very conservative. They didn't want to take too many chances. And Arizona kind of keyed into that and was able to force them, take advantage of the fact that the Bruins were really just kind of trying to make their way up the field by moving very horizontally, you know, in small doses. And Arizona kind of was able to take that away from them. But at the end of the day, you know, they got the job done. But on defense, yeah, I just love all the gang tackles. And I thought they once again did a really good job. And towards the end, they were able to get a couple interceptions as well. So it was just all around a great effort. On special teams, you know, they had the one super huge play was that the play where they pinned Arizona on the 1 yard line, and they ended up getting interception on that drive, if I remember right. And we finally learned that UCLA can actually kick field goals, a long of 31 yards, pretty good, 3 for 3 on extra points. But Nicholas Barmira was able to get the job done, 2 for 2, and he scored a total of 9 points for the Bruins. So good job, kiddo. You end up being the leading point getter in this game, I believe. That's what that makes that. So good for you. So all in all, it's a win. Hopefully, no significant injuries. Hopefully, you get the full complement of players back for next week. And hopefully, there is a next week. There's a game that's actually played because, you know, we can't take any of that crap for granted anymore because who the hell knows? And then hopefully, you get the game against SC the week after. And, if the Bruins have all their players, guys, I like their chances. I mean, they're going to be underdogs, but shit, let's get it done. So on the road at ASU next week, that could be a tough game, certainly, but it's also a game that I think that they can win. And then they host USC at the Rose Bowl again, and we'll see where it goes from there. And then I'm really curious how this Pac-12 season will develop after that, what the title game will look like, and then if they will actually stage these games against, you know, North-South opponents and how that will play out. Because right now it's looking like UCLA will be right in the middle of the pack, and so you figure they'll be playing another team somewhere in that range, and at this point that could be Oregon, it could be Washington, it could be Oregon State. I mean, I think that would be a pretty fun game, Oregon State versus UCLA, and I would say right now at this moment that's probably the most likely matchup, so that could actually be a whole lot of fun. I guess we have that to look forward to. It's kind of like the quote-unquote bowl game for the Bruins if it actually comes to fruition. So we'll see it. Before we go, I do have – it just kind of tickles me pink. We do have a Bruin hotline call on the Bruin hotline, 805-399-4WBS, Sucker Rain of Troy. So let's go ahead and play that, and then we'll get you out of here.
Hey, guys. It's Daz from Santa Clarita. Been a long time since I called, but happy that we're 500, 2-2. We should be 4-0, but it is what it is. Anyway, guys, love the show and go Bruins.
You know, thank you, Dez. It has been a long time since you called, and we need to remedy that. You need to call us after every game and let us know what you think. But yeah, it is nice. The Bruins are 2-2, 500, first time under Kelly. Never thought we'd say that in year three, but here we are. And it's certainly better than what it has been. So I think let's just not really kind of think about it any more than that, right? Another nice Saturday of Bruin football, which has been far and few between for too long. So, hey, if you have anything else to say, call the hotline, 805-399-4WBS, Sucker Rain of Troy. Email us at What's Bruin Show. I'm sorry, that's tweet us at What's Bruin Show. Email us at whatsbruinshow@gmail.com. And we'll be back on Tuesday with the main show, I'm sure. And until then, go Bruins.